Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland. How are you? Oh, and look, and I haven't really rubbed in my face cream properly. But anyway, so I've got this strange habit called washing. I wouldn't recommend it. Don't try it at home. It's a dirty habit, really, washing. But back to the topic. What problems is the Labour government of the United Kingdom going to have to contend with on day one? Because how many days of the day? Is it 8 days of the election? Probably 9 days till Keir Starmer is invited to kiss hands by the King, appointed Prime Minister, the Labour cabinet is announced. And heaven defend us from the idea of Angela Rayner, an absolute ignoramus, a total national disgrace as Deputy Prime Minister. But, you know, the PM doesn't always have a Deputy PM. Right, so there are a number of significant problems they're going to face. The NHS waiting list is very long, and the National Health Service waiting list is going to get even longer. There's the mad rush at 8 a.m., people phoning up to get a general practitioner's appointment, and that's going to get much worse. Even if Labour can find a solution, it's going to take time to have an effect. All this requires a lot more money. Labour's already dropping hints that they're going to have to raise taxes. Now, that's partly because then they are raise taxes and say, well, we didn't lie to you, or we told you, then they tell us boldly, though. And they're also that confident they're winning the election. There's a bit of message discipline is slipping. Rather than saying, we're not raising taxes, not raising taxes. Well, we're not going to answer about that. Will you rule out raising tax on this? We're not going to answer on that one because they're leaving themselves some leeway. Of course, they can break electoral pledges, and everybody does. It's a question of how many electoral pledges do you break, how seriously to break them. I mean, David Cameron, William Hague, Theresa May, all just appalling liars reneging on their promises. Sick, it's vile, making promises they knew they couldn't possibly fulfill. Boris Johnson, an outrageous promise breaker. Go-go promise breakers. But, you know, political leadership, it controls for chicanery, sycophancy, conformity, moral cowardice, backstabbing. It's obviously just nauseating. So Labour's going to come in, they're going to raise taxes. The trouble for them is the financial pain of the taxes going up is going to be felt now. There's not going to be a tangible improvement in the National Health Service or other public services for several years. It's like a super tanker that's going in the wrong direction, to use the analogy that Frank Dobson used. Frank Dobson being Labour's health secretary in the early years of Tony Blair, then hung up to dry, being Labour's mayoral candidate, the mayoralty of London election, first one. And he was ready to take one for the team. He never got promoted to cabinet again. You know, he should have been rewarded by Blair, but there you go. He's dead now, Frank Dobson. So back to this. So the National Health Service is a problem. Crime is going up. Shoplifting's been basically decriminalized. It's far worse than we realize, because why would you bother reporting it? And the police say it's worth less than £200. Don't even bother telling us. And I've seen a guy walk into a shop in Cheltenham, pick up a big slab, a crate of beers, and walk out with it unchallenged. Even the shopkeepers see something and say, hey, come back. And nothing's done about it. And the police are just overwhelmed, too busy on trans courses or racism courses or whatever, policing Facebook. And the prisons are almost at bursting point. They've got fewer than 1,000 prison places left, and the prison population is going up and up. People are imprisoned for just saying things, for cracking jokes online with people who consented to hear the jokes. Is absolutely an outrageous abridgment of free speech, even if the joke is vile. I don't know the exact content of the joke. No one should be sent to prison for cracking a joke. If you don't like the joke, don't listen to the joke. Tell your own joke. What are other problems? Are these indeterminate sentences? So they could be held. They've got no release date, brought in under Blair. I think they've been abolished, but those already serving them are still being held longer and longer. It's good to build yourself a way out of this would take an awful lot of time. Having to release prisoners early, they often get out 50% of the way through their sentences. That might be reduced to 40% way through their sentences. And letting a lot of criminals out, what do you think that's going to do to the crime rates? Make it even worse, which means you need even more prison places and you just can't build the places fast enough. I mean, I would build them in places of high unemployment like Northeast England to create more jobs there. So that's a headache for Labour. They love slagging off the Conservatives, but then it's going to be Labour's going to own the issue. And obviously Labour did the same thing in the noughties, and the Conservatives exploited it as well, as you do. That's partisan politics. It's a bit childish, this old ding-dong about it. It's a real problem. But admittedly, the Conservatives in a way created the problem by not tackling crime earlier, or by not building sufficient prison places, or by creating too many crimes. And likewise, Labour, in a sense, created the problem in the noughties, and neither of them has solved it. Then stop the boats. So there's illegal immigration as well as legal immigration. Even Labour says they'll get legal immigration down. Legal, mind. But when anybody ever talks about immigration, about controlling it, racist, 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 you know, buckets of slime poured over your head, the foulest aspersions cast on anyone's reputation, anyone who says that there should be some limitations, you know, net 750,000 a year at this rate, be net a million a year in several years. It would be net 2 million a year in a decade or something at this rate. I mean, part of the problem was because there was no, because there was virtually no immigration in 2020, 2021 because of coronavirus lockdown. 2022 was like 3 years worth of immigration in 1 year. The other thing is the various crises struck at the same time. The Ukraine war and Hong Kong is having their freedom taken away. I'm sure there was another Afghan refugees, and they all come at the same time. So it's fallen a bit anyway. One thing is just take students out of the statistics because they come to their course, they go home usually. So that's going to be Labour's problem. Stop the boats. They'll cancel the Rwanda plan, which already had some effect, reducing numbers. That's going to be scrapped. And people who fled to the Republic of Ireland will come back to the United Kingdom. People are waiting in France for a Labour government will cross over. The system is going to be collapsed. Labour will probably declare an amnesty, which will encourage even more illegal immigration. Yvette Cooper, the Shadow Home Secretary, says, oh, we'll deal this by tackling the people trafficking gangs. Almost as though that hasn't been tried already. That is being tried all the time, only semi-effective. How is Labour going to make it more effective? And all right, they'll save a few million pounds that was going to be spent on the Rwanda plan, could be spent on this, but it's not going to make an appreciable difference. So it's going to get a lot worse under Labour. Now, Conservatives believe in being reasonably sceptical, in not believing in utopian solutions. And so that's one of the reasons to vote Conservative, is sometimes it's better to accept mediocrity than to cause catastrophe. And the situation is unsatisfactory on the Conservatives, but under Labour, they're going to aggravate it an awful lot more. So they're going to have to deal with that one. But in some ways, economically, Labour is going to inherit a good situation. The economy is growing, not by much, 1%. Unemployment is low, 4%. Inflation is low, 2%. And this concatenation of factors hasn't been seen for, you know, since the noughties, since the Tony Blair days. And the economy could grow, could speed up to 2% to 3% or something like that. And Labour will grow our way out of this need to tax more. Well, everybody says that. They could be lucky, they could be unlucky. We don't really know what's down the road. And Labour pushing so far on green energy, and the infrastructure is just not going to be there. It's just not going to build fast enough. The wind turbines, solar panels or anything else, all electric vehicles, they're not going to be enough charging points at this rate. So it's all over optimistic. It's just not practicable, the policies they wish to implement. And they're going to make things a lot worse. And they're going to be way more civil servants. Their desire to have a new, more cooperative relationship with the European Union, well, it ain't going to happen. The European Union is stonewalling. They want to present the United Kingdom with a binary choice. Either you stay where you are or you rejoin the European Union. There is no middle way. So make your mind up. And the European Union can't calculate. That will redound to their advantage, because eventually the United Kingdom might rejoin the European Union. Which might happen. I mean, I wouldn't see it happen for over a decade. But obviously, public opinion has leaned that way. And obviously, the chattering classes, most of the media, corporations, the civil service, they all say that. And so that they often get their way. That was a minor miracle that ordinary people were able to defeat the establishment in 2016. But the establishment is smarting from that. That rankles to this day. And they do not forgive UKIP, now the Brexit Party, Reform UK, for inflicting that humiliation on them. So this idea that there could be a new trader with the European Union, nah. Plus, is the hardline right-wing parties are one in the European Parliament, and they're even less amenable to giving Labour an easy pass than the centrist or leftist parties. So Labour's going to inherit a number of headaches when they come into office, and these are not going to magically disappear because Labour's there. The high cost of living, all these trade unions to go on strike. The trade unions think that Labour's sort of New Deal doesn't go far enough, and they've got to give Labour, say, just don't take us for granted. Don't think that we're an easy ride just because we're a Labour government. We still want those pay rises. There's a recruitment crisis, and teaching is getting even worse. People retiring at a faster rate than they're joining. Admittedly, class sizes are falling slightly. Because, you know, there are fewer children born in whatever it was in the late noughties than in the 90s. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think is the biggest difficulties Labour is going to face when they come into office? There's the Ukraine war that needs to be funded. The British Armed Forces don't have enough recruits or retention. That's a big headache as well. The Conservatives say stick to the plan. Well, if we keep changing the plan, the plan doesn't work. But Labour is going to make these things a lot worse, I'm sad to say. Building over the Green Belt, that's not going to go down well with a lot of people. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye.